Child, touch my soul with your cries, and the music will know what we found. I hear a hundred goodbyes, but today I hear only one sound. The moment we're living is now. Now, 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 now.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show. You can email me questions at bruce@brucesallen.com, and certainly you can follow me on Twitter. You can join Dad Chat any and every Thursday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time, 9 to 10 p.m. 10 p.m. East Coast time. And you can like the Dad's Point of View Facebook page, for which I'd be very grateful. It's time for Money Talks with Jim Scheinberg. Jim Scheinberg is my own personal financial advisor, so I have to give a disclaimer. He has represented my money, therefore my well-being, for going on two decades, and I am able to live the life I want largely because of his support. He also represents major companies, pensions. He is a worldwide traveler. I assume he is. His latest trip took him to Tokyo, London, and New York, and, you know, the usual stops on his trail, along with a quick stop in Costa Rica where he is developing property. The man has untold interest, not to mention his apartment building in the marina and his vacation home in Park City. So if you don't get the impression that he knows something about money and making it, you are making a mistake. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Bruce, good to be back.
For those that don't know, Jim was a regular on this show until he got too big for my show. And now, of course, he's a regular on CNN Business News and a lot of other major players. Forbes usually puts him on the cover once every quarter. But given what's gone on since I've last had you on the show, Jim, the world is going through lots of economic changes. How about a quick overview of what's going on with the U.S. economy?
Well, the moral of the story is that the U.S. economy is stable. It may not feel that way to everybody across the country, but we are not facing the headwinds that we had seen materialize over the last several years anymore, predominantly based on real estate. Real estate brought us into the financial crisis back about 5 years ago, and it was the thing that was necessary to create the stable environment to bring us out. So with real estate prices finally rising across the board, we're starting to see the winds shift to our back.
You mean I might not be underwater anymore in my house?
Actually, Bruce, I think that's because you left the hose on in your backyard.
Okay. You gave me a list of topics to cover, and I'm already going to veer off of it. What does Obamacare mean to our economy? And do you actually believe it will ever be fully implemented?
I'm going to take a pass on the second one because I've found that the biggest folly that anybody can make is to try and predict what our government is capable of executing or not executing. But what I will tell you is that the net impact on Obamacare is a big question.
From Obamacare, you mean? Yeah.
Yes. The big net impact is a question mark. And I don't mean a question mark as in what will it do. I mean the mere fact that Obamacare is this very large variable into the equation of the U.S. economy creates an unknown. And the one thing that business to business doesn't like and then the consumer doesn't like is not being sure of things.
Absolutely.
And so we don't exactly know in what format and how quickly Obamacare will be rolled out. We do not know what the end result on healthcare, healthcare cost, healthcare quality, the bureaucracy created by another government entitlement. We don't really know exactly.
Well, we do know that it impacts, 15% of our economy is health or something like that? It's a very significant
and growing.
Percentage.
And the most important part of that equation is that it is the fastest growing portion of our economy because of the aging of the United States demographic.
Because of my generation.
It is
the
your
boomers.
Fault.
We blame
you specifically. That
yes,
is correct.
I think we actually deserve the blame. I am often fond of saying the only good thing that the boomers that came out of the boomer generation is some music, but not much else. I will go out on a limb and make a prediction that Obamacare is never fully implemented and that it is ultimately repealed. In the meantime, I think we will suffer individually and otherwise. I got a note at the beginning of the year from my longtime 10-year insurer saying they were dropping me because of Obamacare. And they gave me 11 months' notice. Nothing to do with any particular ongoing condition or pre-existing condition or anything. They're just dropping me because of Obamacare. I guess they were dropping all of California is my guess because I live in California. And I was just stunned. And ironically, I moved to another plan and got a better rate as it turned out. So it may in the short term have been a good thing. We'll see what happens to everybody's rates with further implementation. You mentioned real estate. We are hearing that there are improvements in real estate, but the banks still seem to be holding on to a lot of money. And I understand from my own experience in Park City that the recent jump in mortgage rates really impacted that market. Park City, at least our own realtors said that. Now, you and I know historically 3.5% or 4.5% is still absurdly low compared to the averages of 6, 7, 8, 9%. So the fact that now you're at 4% maybe when you could have gotten 3, I find it very humorous that could impact the market. But where do you really see, is it regional? Is it across the board, the real estate improvements?
Well, the real estate improvements are across the board. And we actually theorized about this early on in the recovery, and it seems to be taking place exactly as we had expected. We coined a phrase, the checkmark recovery. So picture the formation of a checkmark. You've got this big, rapid descent and then a very quick reversal back up. And we figured that essentially that everybody was looking at each other to see when's the right time to buy. Clearly, everything was super affordable a year and a half, 2 years ago by every measure. Home prices, mortgages, affordability indexes, you name it. But that didn't really matter if you were going to lose another 5 or 10 or 20% on your
Which
home purchase.
Everybody was nervous about.
And so eventually we did seek that bottom. And once people realized that the bottom was.
Did you say seek or we saw?
We sought the bottom. And eventually people realized that the prices weren't going to go down and even started to ascend somewhat. And then there was the ensuing panic to buy. And so what we've seen at this point in time is we've seen that first wave of people who are waiting to get back in the market or invest more aggressively. There was a point in time not too long ago that four out of 10 homes in the United States were purchased outright for cash, not even using a mortgage. And so
that's pretty big.
It's an astounding number, but it also lets you know how cheap houses were then.
Well, and how hard it was to get money.
And still are. And so what we're seeing right now is, just to give you an example, so the recent data that just came out for May from the Case-Shiller Index shows that nationally home prices were up over 12% year over year and almost 2.5% nationally just in the month of May. Here in California, much more dramatic. We've seen the June number came in at an up 28% from one reading.
For the whole state?
Up 28% for median home prices. And the Case-Shiller Index, which is really an apples-to-apples comparative benchmark, that's back to the May data again, 19.5% increase in Los Angeles.
Now, I might add that I have extolled your successes on my behalf, but one of the areas where you've been prescient has been your advice on when to buy and sell homes for me. And I think you told me that I was one of only 2 or 3 clients that actually took your advice and sold the home, my big home that I had 10, 12 years ago, which was at or near the peak of the market. And I then rented for a while. And so it all turned out quite well. It wasn't 10 years ago I sold it, but it was like 7 years ago.
Yep.
Or 6 years ago. And I kind of laugh at that because I did listen to you. I did not want to sell that home. I love that home. And thank God I did listen.
It's one thing to tell your client that they need to sell their IBM stock. It's another thing to tell them to get packing.
Right, right.
And but we do see these major shifts in asset pricing, both when they're super cheap and super expensive. So let's go back to the question you asked, which is what do we see in real estate from here? Where is it going? Well, as you said, with mortgages jumping up a little bit, and I will emphasize a little bit.
Right.
With mortgages jumping up a little bit, we've had this, oh, well, I'll wait until they go back down approach from some people, or, oh, it's so expensive now compared to where it was 6 months ago. But as you mentioned, normal mortgage rates of 5% are dirt cheap, 6% are pretty cheap, and 7% are normal. And so, yes, it's true. As we improve as an economy, hopefully, we will continue to improve as an economy. Employment will continue to improve. Interest rates have to come up a little bit. And we should absorb those rises. But psychologically, in those first months after you get a little step up in the next, mortgages will go to 5% eventually, sometime in the next year or two. And when they do, people will freak out about, oh my God, our house is affordable at 5. Will anybody ever buy a house again? And of course, the answer is yes.
Yes,
they will.
If you recall, I bought my first house on a variable mortgage that started at 9.75 and peaked at 12.25. And that was the norm. And I was paying 12.25% on that first house I bought. I made money on the house in the long run. But that was the norm. That was also a time when everyone expected you could easily get 10% on your money just between banks and T-bills and everything else, let alone the stock market. All those assumptions, of course, have changed in the subsequent decades. Look, you're telling us it's better here in the U.S. than I feel it is, and I believe you. What about the rest of the world? China. Everybody here is doom and gloom in China. So what's the reality?
Well, it's actually a great question because it's directly linked back to the first question, which was what's going on with real estate in the United States? Because real estate in the United States, the second largest impact on consumer confidence is home values, the first being jobs. And so if home prices are going up, consumers feel more confident. They have more expendable cash. They can take out home equity lines, et cetera, et cetera. And they will spend. And in fact, we are seeing that pattern. We have seen consumer confidence and consumer sentiment readings in the last couple of months get to the highest levels we've seen in 5 and 6 years, going back to pre-crisis days. And so
still, as good as pre-crisis days or near?
Approaching and exceeding, depending on whose numbers you're looking at. But the moral of the story is that we're not feeling bad anymore.
Got it.
Are we feeling amazing? Not quite, but we're definitely feeling pretty good as the consumer, and that's a huge improvement and a high level since things were looking rather bleak. Well, the consumer drives activity abroad, especially in the emerging markets, especially in the manufacturing countries like China. And so there's always a lag. And so people are worried that China's slowing. China got ahead of itself. We go through this phase every time the United States has stumbled. Everybody, you know, it's the old joke that when the U.S. Sniffles, China gets the cold. But in reality, there's just a lag effect. And so if we're getting robustly enthusiastic here in the United States about real estate and the consumer is back to levels that we haven't seen in 6 years, what you can pretty much set your clock to is at some point in time in the not too distant future, the manufacturing countries that export to the United States are also going to get the benefit of that exuberance, if you will.
Like China.
And so the one thing that is important to remember about China as well, and it's super important. It has become as much of a talk about item as what's going on in Europe. Mm-hmm. And so the thing to remember is, unlike the United States, when we get into trouble in our economy here and we need to prime the pump a little bit, what do we have to do? We go to the Fed, we create new money, or we borrow more money.
Or print new money.
Right, or with the stroke of a computer keypad now to print instead of actually going to the printing press. But in China, they have over $3 trillion in surpluses. So all they have to do is spend a little. And so they have much more flexibility to prime their pump than we do on a go-forward basis.
That's a lot of money to have in reserve. I'd be happy for 10% of that.
That'd be nice.
Be very nice. Before we run out of time, because I do have one more question for you, do a little commercial for yourself and North Pier so people know where to find you, should they want to give over their life savings to you like I have, what they need to do.
Well, as you know, Bruce, we're predominantly an institutional money manager. We work with a lot of corporations and pension plans, but we do handle some family wealth, and we run it like institutions. So we're a registered investment advisor through the Securities and Exchange Commission. But what I would always invite everybody out there is we write emphatically and prognosticate boldly, routinely, every single quarter. And you can go to our website to download our historical writings and link up to our blog and just see what we're talking about going forward. So regardless of whether you ever use North Pier Fiduciary Management Services, please, by all means, put us into your corner so you can at least see where we're looking at both risk and return opportunities.
So where
going
do we
forward.
Get that?
All you have to do is go to the internet, npier.com. That's npier.com. And if you want to get on our mailing list to get that update, we both do now video as well as written word. You can send us an email at info at npier.com. That's N like the direction north, North Pier.
So is the reason for the beard so that for the videos you look a little more erudite?
Well, actually, Bruce, as you know, I've gotten quite gray in the last few years, and no more place is the gray hair more prevalent than smack dab in the middle of my cheeks. So when we go out to the clients and we want to instill some confidence, it's always good that they can see the gray.
That's good. That's good. The problem I have with you being X number of years younger than me is no matter how much time passes, of course, you never catch up.
Let's hope that stays
the remainder, the distance still stays the same. The advantage for me is that, God willing, you will outlive me, and therefore you will manage my money, hopefully, the rest of my life. Thank you, Jim. Been a pleasure having you back.
Thank you, Bruce. I hope you'll come visit.
He's actually in studio, which is so much fun to have an in-studio guest. Stay tuned. We have two segments of Therapy Rap with Dr. Jennifer Weberman after these messages.
Most men are like me, they struggle in doubt, trouble their mind day in and day out. They're busy a living to worry about a thing called love. But when I see a mother's tenderness as she holds her young close to her breast, then I thank God this world's been blessed with a thing called love.